call this meeting of the City Council to order at 6:30. Ms. Pum, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Price? Ms. Carr? Mr. Kraft? Mr. Crowe? Mr. Gliggard? Mr. Sharp? Mayor Welsh?
Here. Thank you very much. We now move on to the approval of the agenda. Is there any mention, any changes to the agenda any council member would like to make? Ms. Carr?
I would like to add two things to the agenda, one to the council business, and that is release of confidential attorney advice to the council, and I'd also like to add that to the closed session.
Thank you. Are there any other changes? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. We have no proclamations tonight. We now move on to the approval of minutes. Is there a motion to approve the January 28th City Council study session minutes? Mr. Crowe moves. Is there a second? Mr. Sharp seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from the City Council regular session on January 28th? Mr. Sharp moves. Is there a second? Mr. Clickett seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from the City Council study session on January 30th? Mr. Sharp moves. Is there a second? Mr. Crowe seconds. Is there any discussion?
May I be excused?
I'm sorry?
May I be excused for a second? Thank you.
Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Oh, okay. Mr. Glickert abstains from that vote. Ms. Pum? Mr. Crowe?
Madam Mayor, or actually through the city manager, not a change, but in the minutes from January the 28th, I had asked the consultant, Mr. Sipman, if he could get us the list from the state of Missouri, and so far still nothing. I'm hoping that maybe Tina or you can follow up with them so that we can get the list of the plans. We had a funding list of the pension plans for all the municipalities, and he had said he would get that to us, and that may have fallen through the cracks. Thank you.
Thank you. We now move on to appointments. Mr. Kraft, you have an appointment.
It's Susan Stang is nominated to the Arts and Letters Commission.
Is there a second? Mr. Crowe seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Mr. Price, you have an appointment.
Mr. Sharp, can you read that for me? I can't locate my minutes.
Okay, Mr. Price nominates Evelyn Hollowell to the Plan Commission. Is there a second? Mr. Sharp seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We have one swearing in today of Ms. Kimberly Jones to the Park Commission. Is Ms. Jones here? I don't see her tonight. Ms. Pum, would you contact her and arrange for a swearing in either at the next meeting or in your office? Thank you. We now move to citizen participation. I would ask that residents turn the mic on when they come to the podium, turn it off when they leave. Please give your name and address, and please limit your comments to 5 minutes. The first comment is from Linda Locke.
Thank you. My name is Linda Locke. I'm at 6925 Cornell, and I'd like to read a statement from my husband, Representative Rory Ellinger. He asked me to read this to you. I'm sorry I cannot be there tonight to deliver this in person, but I'm in Jefferson City for the legislative session that's currently underway. I believe that the character of a community can be found in the selfless choices it makes now on behalf of generations to come. One of the reasons many people tell me they like living in U City is the strong character of the community, the diversity of our residents, the vibrancy of civic and commercial life, and the flavor added by the architecture of many of our buildings, including this one. Our ancestors made choices in the layouts of our streets and neighborhoods that today make U City a livable, walkable, appealing place to call home. The Proposition U bond issue is a call to voters to make choices that have impact today and for the future. This no-tax increase bond issue includes a number of projects to invest in and protect our older buildings, and also to create an environment for students who will need a different set of skills in the future. The bond issue includes a new library at the high school and science lab at the middle school to deliver on the promise of curriculum built around science, technology, engineering, and math. The library today's students need must be built around technology and collaboration, and that's what the bond issue will deliver. It includes a better environment for music and arts that are so essential to building creativity in our children. The school district has proved it manages its resources carefully. It delivered projects on time and on budget from the last bond issue in 2008. But as U City homeowners know, aging buildings require continual care to maintain, so Proposition U will fix roofs, stairwells, doors, lockers, windows, and HVAC systems on buildings, many of which were built between 1913 and 1933. We're fortunate to have a natatorium so the community has a place to swim in the winter. With Proposition U, the school district will make an investment in continued operation of the facility for the entire community. Our current operating tax rate is in the middle of county school districts. Bond rates are low, so the time is right. And again, the bond issue will not increase taxes. Proposition U will make our schools safer and more accessible, improving ADA accessibility in several buildings, such as installing an elevator in Brittany Woods, and making athletic facilities safer at the high school. Finally, and most importantly, Proposition U will enable the continued improvement of our schools. The high school is rated A+, one of only 38 schools in Missouri to receive such designation last year. It's fully accredited and one of the few districts with a relatively high population receiving free and reduced lunches that achieves such a distinction. It continues to refine its curriculum and expand the programs available to students who are thinking about their future both in college and in careers. The schools aren't perfect, nor is this city. But one thing, they are interdependent and should help each other. And if you're committed to preserving the character of U City for the next generation, I urge you to support Proposition U. It's easy to decide to support a bond issue when your children are in the schools. So I'd like to direct my final thoughts to the people like me who no longer have children at home or who do not attend U City schools. My children went all the way through U City schools and are now on their own as productive adults flourishing with the foundation they received in our schools, thanks to the foresight of the citizens of U City who supported the schools long before we moved here nearly 30 years ago. My vote for Proposition U will not directly affect my family, but will affect the generations to come. We plant trees to provide shade for our grandchildren. The trees that need planting today include infrastructure improvements and building updates. The shade they will provide includes a better, safer, healthier, and more stimulating educational environment for today's children and tomorrow's. I urge the members of the City Council and the citizens of U City to vote for Proposition U in April. A vote for the bond issue now is an investment in the leaders of our community in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Reverend B. M. Brown.
Good evening. My name is Reverend Bessie M. Brown, and I live at 6627 Bartma. And I am sorry that I had to make this speech tonight because of the circumstances surrounding it, because it involves my neighbors and their children and their basketball court. And I've lived in U City for, I'm sure, pretty close to 30 years. And when I first made my arrival in U City, it was a very wonderful place to live. And there are so many transitions that's taken place in the neighborhoods until it disturbs me greatly, because unfortunately I don't see any way to resolve these issues unless I bring it to the council, and that's why I'm here tonight. Now, I've spoken previously with Mr. Walker, and I spoke this afternoon with Mr. Sharp, and in regards to this issue, and it's the issue is in regards to basketball. Now, it appears to me that University City is becoming a commercial area, an area where they're playing ball all over the streets, and those of us that's seniors, and that's me, I'm one of the seniors, we don't have very much to say about that. Nobody seemed to really take it serious. Now, what's going on next door to me is I have tolerated it for months, from over in the summer, all the way over to tonight. The children, and they're not little fellows, some of them are little fellows, but the ringleaders are 16, 17-year-old kids. And what's going on is they're playing ball in the yard next door, and the ball consistently falls over in my yard. And they're looking for me to come out two or three times a week and pick the ball up and throw it over the fence. A couple of nights ago, around 7 o'clock in the evening, it's dark, and I'm trying to relax, and here comes a boy, big boy, knocking on my door, asking me to go out in the dark and get a basketball. And so I did. I put my clothes on, and I went out because I was dressed basically for comfort in my home at that time prior to going to bed. So I went out, and I got the ball. And I've talked with the parents prior, more than one time, and they're very indignant people, and they feel that I should go out and shouldn't mind going out to pick this ball up. And not only that, they climbed my fence tonight, well, this evening rather, prior to coming here. I had to call the police because I had told them, I said, now, several nights ago, he came and knocked on the door at 7 o'clock in the evening, and I live alone, so I'm not comfortable with that, and I'm not comfortable with kids that age coming to my door at that hour of the night and asking for me to come out in the dark, not knowing what's on their minds, but I knew the ball was out there. And sometimes when I'm not there, if I leave to go, I have an engagement that I keep every weekend on Friday and Saturdays. I preach down at the city jail, and I look out the window, and there's a ball in my yard. So then I say, well, I'll just wait till I come back and go and get it, because we don't have time now to do it, because what I'm doing is important to all the communities. If I can get the attention of these inmates, perhaps we can all live a little more safer. But in the meantime, I come back, and the ball is gone, which says to me that you've been in my yard. This evening, I was getting ready to prepare a meal for myself, and I looked out the back window of my kitchen, and there were these guys, big guys and little guys, and they got the big guys standing back in the shadows and got the little kids on a tire that they pulled up, some kind of old car tire, and the kids up on the tire going over my fence with a stick to rake the ball over there. So I wanted to tell you that story because then I'm really perplexed greatly, because I'm wondering what responsibility, what about the administrative department of University City, and what are you guys, pardon my expression, but what's your take on this? What are we supposed to do? And I talked to the parents, and they say, well, it's an accident. It's not like they threw the ball over there purposely. It's not. It's just an accident. So, and before you say this, I feel the same way, that they're children and they're playing ball, but I'm not the referee. So I don't really feel good about running out of my house every time somebody drop a ball over my yard. And I don't feel good about people destroying my property by climbing my fence. Here's a little guy up there tonight, this evening, going over my fence. That's why he got this tire there. Going up, and I'm looking at him right out the window. So I had, because I had already warned him. I say, next time that you do this, I'm going to call the police. Because I had been advised to do that, to file a charge, some charges against them, but
Reverend Brown,
consequently...
could I tell you, you have 20 more seconds.
Okay, thank you very much. Sorry. But in the meantime, well, then I'll just eliminate the rest of the process and ask you guys, what are you going to do about the commercial area that's taking areas that's taking place in University City? That's what I, well, one thing about it, it's commercial when you have a football, a basketball team playing basketball all in the alley at all hours of the night and disturbing the peace. And the lady behind me said that today she came to the fence when I was talking to the police and said how difficult it was for her because the noise is terrible. And I'm filing charges. I didn't want to. I've been to the police department, and I changed my mind. I didn't because under the circumstances, I knew that they were kids. Now, what can you guys do? Or what do you plan to do? I think that you should have some type of ordinance that states that there will be no basketball commercial area. They have the park. I think you should do something about it.
Thank you, Reverend. We now move on. We have no public hearings tonight. We have no consent agenda. We now move on to the city manager's report. Mr. Walker.
Madam Mayor and members of the council, just prior to presenting the city manager's report, I wanted to introduce our new fire chief, Mr. Adam Long. Mr. Long, if you will stand. And
I just want to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to serve in University City. I have family and friends that still live here, and I'm just here to assure you that you will continue to receive the same quality service that you've gotten in the past. We are taking a look at things that work here in the fire department to make sure that We're looking to see things that work and looking at ways to improve them. And we're also going to take a look at things that don't work and see if they can revamp them and, like I said, make some improvements. But again, we will continue with the same quality service that you've got in the past, and we're going to do it in the most cost-effective manner possible.
Thank you, Chief. Welcome to UCity.
Thank you.
Mr. Walker.
First report under the city manager's agenda is the purchase of 5 2013 Chevrolet Impala police cars. Staff is recommending the city council approve an award to Don Brown Chevrolet for 5 patrol cars for a total amount of $105,175.
Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Glickert, is there a second? Ms. Carr, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much, Mr. Walker.
The second item is Westgate Avenue Olive Boulevard intersection realignment and traffic signal project. Staff is recommending approval to grant authority to the city manager to sign and enter into the contract with Kuhlman Design Group Incorporated.
Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Crow, is there a second? Mr. Sharp, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Walker.
The third item is the Bicycle Facilities Improvement Project. Staff is recommending approval to grant authority for the city manager to sign and enter into the contract with Grove Design Group. Essentially what this is marking the existing roads with a bike path, Canton Avenue, Old Bonham, and Jackson Avenue.
Is there a motion to approve? Ms. Carr, is there a second? Mr. Glickert, is there any discussion? Mr. Crow?
This is for design and construction. This is from beginning to end.
I'm going to ask the Director of Public Works and Parks to give us a little more detail.
It's to do the design and then the construction inspection. We would, when they get the design done, we would then bid the project, which would be the construction cost, and then we would use that same firm to do the inspection, make sure it's all done properly and all the paperwork. This is a federally funded project.
So we're spending $30,000 to just to design it, and then we're going to get another bid to do the painting?
That's correct. And it's a $200,000 project altogether.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you. Mr. Walker.
Fourth item is the Chamberlain Avenue over Branch of River De Pere Bridge replacement project. Staff is recommending approval to grant authority to the city manager to sign and enter into this contract with Cochran.
Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Price, is there a second? Mr. Sharp, any discussion? Mr. Glickert.
Just one quick question. I know that this is in concert with MoDOT, but do we have somebody on staff that is knowledgeable of bridges?
I'm going to ask the Director of Public Works and Parks to address that.
We don't have anybody that's certified in bridge inspection. There's, you know, that's a whole aspect of learning. We do, myself as well as CNON, the city engineer, knows enough to look at bridges and to see where the issues are, but to certify a bridge loading capacity, we're not certified in that.
Okay, so we complete the project. Are we going to bring in someone who is certified to make sure that this is done to the specifications of the state and the county and, of course, the city?
Yes, this would also, similar to the bike project, this same company would do the inspection while the bridge is being built and make sure that the bridge has been built according to specs and has the 50-year life.
Okay. Assuming this is passed, then what is going to be the direction of traffic on Chamberlain? Is it going to come in from Sutter now and 66th Street?
Are you talking about during the construction?
Yes.
There would have to be a detour set up. We haven't looked at what that detour would be right now, but it would be a logical, the shortest detour that we could do.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed, the ayes have it. Thank you very much. Mr. Walker.
The last item under the city manager's report is the sidewalk and curb replacement project. Staff is recommending that city council approve the award for the sidewalk and curb replacement project to SBC Contracting, Incorporated, in the amount of $87,825.
Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Sharp, is there a second? Mr. Price seconds. Is there any discussion? Mr. Crow?
Thank you. I guess a couple of questions. Has SBC been involved in the sidewalk and curb replacement to date?
I'm going to ask the Director of Public Works and Parks to come forward.
I will admit I forgot to look and see from my point of view, but my engineers have recommended SBC that they've used them in the past. And or they have the references. They haven't done anything this year.
So this is not one of the firms that has caused my telephone to ring incessantly about the concrete not matching and about the quality of the work?
No.
Okay. And then maybe I'm just naive here, but this is one of the widest spreads in bids I've seen, from a low of 87 to a high of 238. Does the difference in this bid is so much smaller than everybody else's, does that raise any concerns? Or and the reason I honestly am asking this is because what I would have considered would have been a positive item for all of us has turned into one that I cringe when I get one more call that the concrete doesn't match, that the concrete's in my lawn, that the grass has been torn up. It's been nonstop. So, is the next batch in another ward, or is it still in my ward? Where are we doing these things?
Yeah, I don't believe this. I'm thinking is up in the north area.
Okay.
It's a smaller contract. We are obligated to go with a low bid unless we know of some. You know, that the contractor has been on our blacklist or we've had problems with the contractor in the past.
Okay.
And the references that we have on SBC are okay.
Okay.
And And the issue with the concrete not matching shouldn't happen anymore. We were trying to save some money in that aspect and realized it wasn't worth the effort.
Thank you.
Mr. Glickert?
Stay there. You alluded to the north area, Mr. Wilson. In this, I didn't see where the work was going to take place, and I thought, obviously, we got a gazillion sidewalks here, so, and curbs, but I thought maybe you could give us an idea where this work is going to take place, or the majority of the work is going to take place.
I would have to provide that. I'll send that information to Mr. Walker.
I'd like to see that. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We now move on to council reports and business. On council appointments needed, again, Mr. Kraft has an appointment to the Board of Appeals, but we are waiting on that until we do some study as to whether or not that commission should continue or if it should be combined with some other. Mr. Price has appointments to the Historic Preservation Commission. Expertise is needed, the Traffic Commission, and two board and the Library Commission. And Mr. Sharp has an appointment to the Board of Appeals also and the Commission on Human Relations. Council members should have, does any member of council have a report from a board or commission to which they liaise? Hearing none, we all go through to other discussions in business. Ms. Carr and Mr. Crow.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wanted to talk about the Parkview Gardens plan. At the last meeting study session, we had a presentation by Dr. John Hull, who's the principal of H3. H3 had the contract to develop the Parkview Gardens plan. It was a no-competition contract, meaning that there was no RFP issued, and the reason was because they had helped develop a park plan, which many of you voted on in 2010, and they were viewed as being partners, partners who are also paid. One of the things that Mr. Hull said was that he that the staff had been instrumental in putting together the stakeholders list, and and I was awfully puzzled on the stakeholders list why three of the property owners whose property abutted parking lot number four were not identified as stakeholders, and one, a Mr. Bruce Mills, who was a developer, was. So in fact, I, as I'm known to do, did a little research. And found out that actually Mr. Hull, as he had indicated, had developed a form-based code, and this is pretty dense, but maybe some of the people on the Plan Commission will get it. So the zoning was changed for this part of the Ward 17. Essentially, it's called Park Central. So Mr. Hull, in fact, did have some relationship with Mr. Mills, but the question I really had was, who had made the final decision? It's one thing to propose, I think you ought to consider these people as stakeholders, and quite another to make a final determination, who are the stakeholders? Why are they important? Well, they decided what issues were important, what things would be allowed before they came to any commissions, before they held any workshops. The stakeholders helped to set the design of the direction of this plan, as much as the partners being Washington University, Parkview Gardens Association, TrailNet, City of University City, and dare I say, H3, because HUD and DOT said that they were partners as well. It appears from some emails that, in fact, our staff did sign off on the final list of stakeholders. The initial list of stakeholders included Mr. Mills, who has no real stake or interest in University City. But some of the people that were left off the initial list were surprising. There were only two council members put on the initial list, and the mayor. And notably, Mr. Edwards was left off. So so after some discussion, they developed a much more robust list, and that list included the entire council and one additional Washington University person and Mr. Edwards, but no additional property owners. And if I may, I think the third sheet is the email chain, and it says here, and this was from Mr. Lai, and for those that have colored copies, it says, "Hi, Tim, this list looks good. Suggest to add someone from St. Louis County Department of Highways and Traffic, as Delmar is within their purview, and Don Rowe, City of St. Louis Executive Director of Planning and Urban Design Agency." I understand why staff would look towards bureaucrats, but and in fact, there should be some bureaucrats on this list. But in fact, the real stakeholders are the people that live here in University City, that own property. And I think that they tried to cover that by saying we're holding workshops and we're inviting many people to come to those workshops. But when they identified a consensus issue being don't build condos, there's a political pushback to that. There's a political price to pay for that. I believe that our staff should have taken a step back and said, well, wait a minute. Maybe we need to talk to these people. Maybe we need to reconsider. Instead, we went ahead. So essentially, what I am saying that this email says is that our city is responsible. Our city staff is responsible for the extra $40,000 that we have to pay because they signed off on it and never objected to it. That's okay. People make mistakes or misread things. I'm okay with that. One thing I'm not okay with, though, is the attacks on the business owners and property owners. When this happened, I remember Mr. Lai distinctly saying, well, we invited them, and they could have chosen to come. It was their choice. It was Mr. Lai's choice to decide who was on the stakeholder list. So let's back off from this. Let's stop pointing our finger at the business owners, and let's admit that the $40,000 price tag was actually something that we have to pay because our staff signed off on it and never changed it. Now, I believe that that once, again, that they realized that there might be a problem, that they should have gone back to the drawing board. It wasn't just the consensus issues. People at the workshop said it. People in the plan commission said it. They heard it, and still they never dropped back. And the business owners were called troublemakers, and I find that is a little bit disturbing. So what I want to do basically is address the rest of this as if I were looking at this problem from a distance. I want to make sure that the city manager and the director of community development know that I'm not going to let go of this. The lack of candor on this issue has caused me to step back in endorsing this plan and carefully scrutinize what is brought forward to these council members. We as a council are not necessarily getting complete unbiased information. What do I mean by that? If you look at the last page that I've given you, these were slides that were presented to you, about 40 of them, in a study session exactly 1 year ago by Mr. Hole to the council. And if you look at the bottom, it says, regulatory plan. Following immediate completion of this planning process and adoption of the sustainable development plan for Parkview Gardens, an overlay or replacement form-based code plus sustainability metrics program is developed and adopted for this neighborhood to ensure that future development matches the intention and objections of this plan and encaps by right absolute. So by voting for this, we're endorsing a change in our zoning code. I think most of us up here don't understand what the repercussions to that would be, and that concerns me greatly. So as we move forward with our partners like Washington University, Parkview Gardens Association, the business and property owners and residents, we must keep in mind that we will be making decisions in the best interest of University City, primarily, fundamentally, and at the bottom line. This whole incident has caused me to question whether the council should retain our own consultant to evaluate the proposals brought to us by the staff with regard to the Parkview Gardens plan and even Olive development. Let me assure you that we will not be adding money to the budget, but I'll be requesting that the money be taken from the Community Development Department budget, because I don't think that we can vote on something that will so change the face of our city unless we, as a council, really understand what we are being asked to approve.
Mr. Crow?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll be brief. I believe that the interaction that we have had most recently on this plan has caused me to be much more circumspect with the next phase of whatever WashU's expansion may be. I think they're a valued member of our community and a valued partner to us. I think that we've probably got some issues going forward, and we've got a lot of development that is on the drawing board over the next several years, primarily in the Second Ward area. And I think that it is incumbent upon all of us to, in our own case, maybe learn from our mistakes and be a little bit more astute as we move forward, because I feel as if we've got this train leaving the station here, and we need to make sure that we understand what's going on. I don't in any way have any intention of abdicating our role regarding zoning to just say, once you're within a certain area, if you fit within these parameters, everything goes just fine. So maybe I misunderstand. I would love to be enlightened. But at this point in time, I would like to get more information, and I would join Ms. Carr in the concerns that I have that we need to make sure that as the area primarily between Del Mar and Olive is being reshaped by now easily its largest landlord, WashU, I think we need to make sure that we understand the impact that it is having on the neighborhood, the impact it is having on the businesses and in our community and our community at large. Thanks.
We move on, Ms. Carr and Ms. Crow. Mr. Crow?
I provided the council with another handout, and this is actually the February 10th, 2013 University City Bulletin Board sent out by our Mayor, Shelley Welsh. And I draw your attention to the actually the first paragraph, and it begins, according to a legal opinion written by City Attorney Paul Martin, and goes on to say pretty much what was sent to us as confidential attorney-client privilege, attorney or city attorney, to the council. I was shocked. I was dismayed. There is on the top of that document a little thing that says, and I'll read that, "This document constitutes a privileged communication between a governmental body and its attorney and may be maintained in a closed record in accordance with the provisions of 610.021 RSMO 2010. This is a confidential document, and yet it was basically reprinted in a newsletter. And if that wasn't enough, the download is also similarly marked. Paul Martin memo on intergovernmental agreement, and that contains the same caveat at the top. At no time did this council, to my knowledge anyway, discuss releasing these documents as public documents. At no time was I even sent an email, and yet these confidential documents were put out into the public domain. And I, my feelings are, and as Mr. Martin informed me when I first came on to the council, that determination cannot be made by one council member alone. It is the determination that is made by the entire council, the body of the council, And in fact, it is only ours to make.
Mr. Crow?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a number of questions for the city attorney. I would ask that he be able to come up and answer my questions.
Mr. Martin?
Thank you, Paul. Always nice to have you here. I don't think any of these are probably going to be too difficult. Based on what little I know about all of this, it looks to me like our city, amongst many others in the state, has adopted the Missouri Open Meetings and Records Act, otherwise known as the Sunshine Law. We adopted it some time ago by resolution.
By resolution, I think the entire statute was adopted, yes.
And as part of that act, to the best of my knowledge, as I read it, it says that all legal opinions are deemed to be confidential. Any confidential or privileged comments between the city and its attorney are deemed to be confidential.
That is definitely one of the exceptions to the public records presumption, yes.
Correct. And also, to the best of my knowledge, it seems to say that all information shall remain closed until action is taken by the city to make them public. Right?
I have no doubt that that's in there.
And in the same statute, it says no person shall disclose without being authorized by law or by a vote of the city. Same statute.
I don't have the statute in front of me, and I haven't looked at the statute itself in quite some time, but I would expect that to be in there.
I have to agree with Ms. Carr in that as I keep looking through all of these opinions that you've provided for us over the time you've been our city attorney, they seem to be very consistent with the disclaimer that's listed at the top. And so one of the questions, and that disclaimer is, of course, the one that says this document constitutes a privileged communication between a government body and its attorney and may be maintained as a closed record in accordance with provisions of Section 610.020, Parent 1, Parent RSMO 2010. I think it's safe to say that the attorney-client privilege that we have runs to the entire council.
I think that would be my opinion.
And that I believe it's also been said before that that attorney-client privilege can only be waived by a vote of the entire council.
Yes, to foster clear communications with the council, I think the proper procedure is to not have individual members making individual decisions about whether they can disclose.
And so I think we've even had many folks would say that this could in some way at times compromise the city's position on any given item.
Depending on the circumstances, yes.
Could, as you say, I think you just said discourage frank communication.
Yes.
And probably at times even raise our citizens' expectation that more items we've made public than maybe we would like to have made public, so then they get frustrated with us. I guess I come back to me, was the action that was taken by the mayor beyond the authority of one member?
I don't know that I can point, I think the answer is probably yes.
So we've got legal opinions from February the 5th that have the disclaimer. And I guess the next question I would ask is, because these have been placed in the public domain, has our attorney-client privilege been waived?
To the extent that those documents are in the public domain, yes.
Okay. So we've got the waiver then on the opinion for the Prop U that's evidently been waived. We've got the Olivet and U City intergovernmental agreement that's evidently been waived unilaterally. It's kind of interesting that when we did the public-private streets conversation that we had, I would commend my colleague, Mr. Kraft, who said, as I believe, when we had this come up in our meeting back in, what was that, November 26th, Mr. Kraft said, we usually do not have the city attorney's opinion made public. However, he would like to ask council to allow the city attorney's opinion be made public in this matter because he would like to have the public know the reasons behind the recommendation. That was passed unanimously, so it looks to me like we had that protocol sort of moving forward.
So I just keep coming back to this question. It looks to me like, unless I'm missing it, we not only violated the state statute, we probably, or not we, our mayor violated the state statute and also violated the rules of council, which I think we just did back in January, which would be rules 8 and rules 37, which we talk about.
I cannot.
And I understand that. That's probably more a statement than a question. So I actually, Paul, thank you. I think you answered all my questions.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, we move on to unfinished business. Mr. Price?
Yeah, I guess. And I want to get home early, too. But the reason I cannot blow by what has been raised, it is a perpetual pattern. If certain people do certain things, it's justified. If other people do things that didn't happen, and regardless of factual information, they're unjustified. And what I'm trying to get, and please don't say this is a personal attack. This is not. I am asking the mayor a question. What was your intent when you put this information public, knowing we had not discussed this? What was your intent on a privileged opinion that we received? And that's all it was a opinion, because nobody discussed whether they agreed with that opinion or not. May I ask you a question, Mr. Morton?
Yes.
If you render a opinion, do I have the right to agree or disagree?
Of course.
That's it. He answered my question. So we have a right to disagree, which never took place. So I need to find out from you, because you use the same rules to go after other people, but when it comes to you, no rule applies. So what was your intent when you put this out about the school district? Was it to defame the school? I need you to answer, because I can come up with all kind of assumptions. The first assumption I got was maybe she's trying to discredit the school district. Maybe she's against the children of the school she represents. I'm not sure, because this, it gives an implication that you're trying to imply someone did something wrong based on an opinion which I happen to unequivocally disagree with, but you didn't give no one the privilege to do that. And then the issue of Olive, you come out with that in a newsletter that could be misconstrued any kind of way based on people reading information that don't have all the details. And if I can't remember, that same statement was made to me by you. And can Mr. Kraft quit telling you what to do?
Mr. Price, why don't you continue?
Can you, that's what I mean. He can make gestures telling you to tell me to wind it up.
Point of personal privilege. I'm feeling sick.
I'm sick. My sinuses is bad. So can you, since he left, he wasn't here last week when we took this vote, so he's stepping out again. So whenever it's the schools, he's going to step out. But my question is, what was your intent when these items was never discussed by the body?
Mr. Price, I'm glad to sit down and talk with you in another forum. I'm not going to get into this discussion here tonight. But
why,
I am glad to set up a meeting. I am glad to set up a meeting and talk with you and tell you how I came to
this decision.
But
why would you mass broadcast it to the public, but then when you ask about it in the public, you don't want to talk about it?
I'd be glad to talk about this with you at a later time.
What about tonight, right now?
I prefer not to answer the question.
Why would you not want to talk about this tonight? I think the public needs to know. If I sit at a computer and mass broadcast this to hundreds of people, then I come to the meeting and then I don't want to discuss something that I sent to hundreds of people. I don't get it. So you have no opinion on what you did?
Mr. Price, I said I would sit down with you in another forum and discuss how I came to that decision. Ms. Carr and Mr. Crow.
Since the opinion has waived our right, as Mr. Martin, I might not be saying this correctly, but this is now in the public domain. I have a question. Actually, it says that extends to the use of public funds. I happen to know, is that what you were maintaining, that we would have expended public funds on this resolution?
Yes. Essentially, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I happen to know that Mr. Price put the resolution together. And so I would like to ask Mr. Walker how much time was spent on this and at what cost, so that the public can know what the cost is.
Madam Mayor, through to Councilmember Carr, approximately an hour of the city clerk's time to modify the resolution very slightly. About $27 an hour, about $27 was expended.
Okay, so $27. And I'm sure that my fellow council members that supported this would join me in saying if the city would like to be made whole, I'd be happy to pay the $27, although I'm not sure that, as Mr. Price said, it could be debated. But $27 is... I'm sure we spend more than $27 on other issues. Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Mr. Crow, and then we do have one member of the public who would like to speak.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have to admit that I'm perplexed as to where there would be a better forum to answer a question about why one member of council unilaterally violated our attorney-client privilege on two separate legal documents. I think that's a pretty simple question, and I think it goes to the heart of probably why this actually occurred on Sunday afternoon. I also believe that unless we as a council address this, then I think we are basically saying that any one of us at any point in time can release Mr. Martin's opinions, because they all have the same heading. They've had the same heading for 18 months. So we can release those, and there really doesn't seem to be any bone of contention, because it's just okay. And in fact, we had the mayor release unilaterally and expose our city based on violating attorney-client privilege. And she would like a different forum to answer our questions. My guess is that at some point in time, maybe our council will decide that we do need another forum. to answer these questions, because we as a council have an obligation to both be transparent and to also follow the law. Thank you.
Mr. Kraft, and then Mr. McCarthy from the audience.
Right, I apologize. I'm not feeling the greatest. Mr. Martin, I just have a couple of questions. The first question would be, you know, obviously if you said he has a sexual harassment lawsuit, like say there's somebody in the police department that's doing something illegal, we would probably want to, you know, not make that public, or somebody in public works or something, because there's real liability problems. So we would probably, just hypothetically, that would be something you would advise us to keep confidential. Or somebody's suing us, we're involved in a lawsuit. Is there anything in any of these documents that, if asked by counsel, you would advise us to keep confidential?
I think it would be the counsel's determination. I don't see anything wrong with sharing the information that we're talking about.
Okay, and then...
That's a personal opinion.
That's all we're asking. I was at the meeting... I certainly understand the concerns about the... opinion about the whatever the vote was, but I was at the meeting where you talked about the Olivet legal issues. It seems that I thought you were making public your document at that. In other words, most of the questions people asked you were questions that were literally straight from your, at least the questions I asked were literally right down the list to clarify what your legal opinions were in that document. It might be a gray area, but it sounds to me like you'd made that, you yourself had made that document public already. Is it gray or black and white, or how would you determine that? You'd answered all the questions in a public forum that were in that document.
Well, I think it's a very gray area. Certainly, questions come up all the time. Legal questions come up all the time in University City and other places where I'm asked to give a legal opinion in a public setting, and oftentimes it's based on previous work that I've done and provided to council members. I suppose in those circumstances, I'm assuming that the client has waived the privilege and wants an answer to the question.
So would it be fair if everybody's concerned about, I certainly understand the process problem and agree that it's gray, because in other words you're answering questions from that document and council hadn't actually voted. I mean, because you're at a forum to discuss the legalities of the proposed Olivet project. I mean, it's hard for you to not answer the question by saying, well, council hasn't okayed me to answer the question, because that's what you're there for with the other attorney, was to answer the question. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Well, so then the question I'd like to ask you is to explain your opinion about the vote that council took. But I really am not, and I agree with Mr. Crow, I'm not free to ask that question because council hasn't voted. So would it be improper if I asked council, or council would indulge me so I could then go ahead and ask him the questions that I'd like to ask him about his opinion? I don't think there's any... The process, I'm certainly sympathetic to the process, but I don't think there's any great secrets here. There's not a sexual harassment lawsuit or a... we're not discussing a suit against the city. What we're discussing is the legal rationale for what we did or didn't do right. You can't even answer that because it's in your opinion. So what I'm asking council is, can we vote just to make it public? So I can ask him the questions. I will make the motion to make the opinion public so that I can ask Mr. Martin the questions about his opinion.
Which opinion?
May I ask which opinion you're speaking about?
How about both of them? Let's make both of them public.
But this is this
we have
is
a motion, and
the
do we have
a motion's out of order. The city attorney already clearly said that attorney-client privilege has been waived because of the unilateral action of one member, and yes, that is what the attorney said. So you can make all the motions you want to, but
well,
you are now window dressing the unilateral actions of one member.
Well, no, I don't think if an error has been made, I don't want to compound it by discussing what is in a privileged document. So what I'm asking is before I compound the question, I compound the error, then I'm asking to waive it, formally waive it. And if counsel feels that this is so secret that it can't be waived, then I won't ask any questions. So my motion is to please that we waive it at this point, both of them. And so that's my motion. If counsel doesn't support me, so be it. But that's my motion. I look for a second.
Is there a second? Motion has not been seconded.
Then I would have to agree. Counsel feels this is so sensitive that it can't publicly be discussed.
May I disagree? Counsel, I hope that my colleague does not put words in my mouth as to what I deem as sensitive or not. In the council member Kraft's questions to the city attorney, he actually used the word, just so you know, we, plural. That is us. That's not one. And I'm kind of confused because we're acting as if there's a gray area. The city attorney puts confidential and privileged on the top of his opinions. For us to make them open, we have to take a vote to make them public. That's not gray. And unless I'm missing it, the city attorney doesn't have the authority to waive attorney-client privilege for us. So this isn't gray.
We did have a member of the public who would like to make comments. Would counsel like him to come up now or go to Mr. Sharp, Ms. Carr, and Mr. Price? Ms. Carr and Mr. Price. Mr. Price?
Let me just say this. If I'm mistaken, let me ask this question to the city manager. When you give us legal information from the city attorney, are you requesting his personal opinion or his legal expertise?
I'm requesting his professional opinion, his professional legal opinion.
Not his personal?
Correct.
Okay, because he just stated he was giving us a personal opinion. I don't want your personal opinion, because that means absolutely zero. So if you're going to make a statement from the floor, it should be legal and professional, not personal. Because legally, what the mayor did was not correct. And to my colleague, Mr. Kraft, there's nothing secret. I didn't send the emails out. The mayor did. I'm not standing here saying I won't discuss a blast email. I can't discuss the blast email because I don't know what the intent was, because her finger hit send, not mine. Her finger typed. Did you type this or something? I don't know who typed it. She could have did it. She could have hired somebody. We don't know. But this was sanctioned by the mayor because it came from the mayor, from Shelley Welch. Sent out on February the 10th at 6:02 p.m. She sent that. So you're trying to make it like Mr. Sharp did something, Mr. Price did something. Nobody did nothing. She sent that. And then I hear all this talk about transparency, being transparent, etc. Then when a person get asked, what was your intent, then you want to take that in private and discuss it. None of us said take anything. The mayor said she wanted to discuss her intent behind closed doors. She said that to me. I didn't say that. So I just find it very ironic that when some people do something that's out of line, we get if-then statements. If this happened, then this. If that happened, then that. If statements. If then. But when other people do something, it's a matter of fact. The rules are construed to do things to other people and not to other people. People couldn't leave the floor unless they got acknowledged. Then it went to, they winked at me. When people storm out, nobody could see the wink but the mayor. So you the one need to be transparent. I don't have to be transparent. I asked you, why did you do this? And you won't say. So there must be some intent, a purpose behind what you did. I don't know if it's good or bad, but if it was good, I would definitely say it was good, but you won't say that. So it must have had bad intentions. I can only assume. I'm not sure.
Mr. Edward McCarthy, then Mr. Sharp, then Ms. Crow. Ms. Carr.
Counsel. First of all, the entire paper that you received from Mr. Martin at the top is an opinion. It doesn't have to be confidential. He just told you it was confidential. Whether he says that or not, I have a problem with rules that are being broken, laws that are being broken by the council stating that it's confidential. So I disagree with Mr. Martin that it was confidential and it shouldn't be confidential at all. Number two is, the four of you that voted for the resolution, you violated the law. I don't care, Ms. Carr, whether it's $27 or it's a penny. You broke the law. No, that's your lawyer's opinion. That's okay.
Mr. Price,
Mr. Price can discuss this, okay. Kelly.
Okay.
No, she broke a rule of the council. You broke the law. You broke the Missouri law. Yes.
Okay. You running for the school board, is that correct? I'm talking
yes,
to you.
Yes, I am. I am.
Okay. So, all right, I see the connection.
Very good. So, number two is, you four broke the law. Number two is, you have to unring the bell. So, you have to vote to undo that resolution. You're still in violation of the law. Yes, you are. Okay? And if Mr. Martin wants to tell you that you now it's legal because now it's all out in the open, he's wrong. And number three is, what are you going to do with, you know, with Shelley's rule violation? So what? I mean, she broke a council rule. You broke the law. So you guys turn around, you fight amongst yourselves, make it a big deal. But I'm just telling you, it's not going anywhere. Thank you.
Mr. Sharp, then Ms. Carr.
I wanted to see Mr. Martin. Mayor, please. Just give me some indication when you send something to us that says confidential, and then other times you send items to us and they're not confidential. Can you differentiate between the two messages that you send to us? Am I making sense to you?
Yes, sir. And the answer would be no. But that is pretty much why whenever I do something that is distributed to the council, it always has that banner on top of it. The attorney-client privilege is intended to foster candid communications between the attorney and the client. That can't happen unless there's some trust there about confidentiality. And I do not know, I cannot look into seven individual members' minds and make a determination of whether one of those members thinks that something should be confidential or shouldn't be confidential. If I think it is something that involves an opinion, based on the law, then the banner goes on, that memo, and that's how you receive it.
There are some times when you send items to the council and the banner is not there?
I can't think of anything about on that score right now.
So everything that you send to the council at this point, individually or collectively, has that banner, is that correct?
I believe so.
So then whether it's... So how can we as a council differentiate between something that is blasé, so to speak, and something that is definitely confidential and has a tag on it? Is there a way that we can differentiate?
I don't think that you are going to be able to figure out any bright line rules on that particular issue.
Can you then, when you send something to us that is confidential, as opposed to something that not necessarily is confidential, you cannot differentiate in some way to help us know what is definitely confidential and something that is not? You cannot do that in some way, shape, or form?
Well, that's what that banner is for. When you see that banner, you know that I'm thinking that this is a document that I believe is a confidential document. It's an attorney-client privilege communication.
So basically what you're saying is that everything that you report to us basically is confidential. Is that correct?
Pretty much.
Ms. Carr?
I'd like to address a couple of questions. Mr. Crow asked you some questions at the beginning.
Yes, ma'am.
And it seemed to me that some of those questions he asked you were about RSMO and a violation of the Open Records Open Law Act. And did I hear you correctly saying that if you remembered it correctly, that in fact this release was a violation of that statute, state statute?
I think I answered by saying that I couldn't give you the exact section, and I don't have it in front of me, and I can't read it, but I would not be surprised at all that that is what is included in the statute.
Okay. So we are talking a violation of the state law, not just a violation of the council rules, but by the way, all of us here had a finger in establishing the council rules, and may I remind you that rule number 37 says, contents of executive sessions and confidential memos must be kept confidential. Without being too snarky, Mr. McCarthy will have to remind me what law school he graduated from, and I'd like to remind everyone that Mr. Kraft has said repeatedly, until it goes before a judge, you know, there isn't a final, but so long as you are our city attorney, agree with you or not, you are issuing the opinion, the legal opinion for this city. And so if I disagree with you, I might argue with you, or I might seek other counsel, but I have no authority or right to, to dismiss on behalf of the city your opinion, nor do I have any authority unilaterally to open those closed records, which, by the way, are not just those records that you have issued, but records before the previous 2 years, which I'm sure several on this council would not wish me to open, and I now can have access to. So let's be careful what we wish for, Mr. McCarthy. I want to say again that that it's not just the trust between our attorney. I would expect you to be as honest with us as you can, and I'd like to foster that relationship because we do need guidance. But I also believe that some things...
Are you okay, Mr. Kraft?
Okay. I also believe that some of the things that were said or can or might be said can put our city at risk. Now, that has happened twice where confidential documents were released, and I'm very concerned about that. So, so for me, it's more than just forget it. It's not a rule. I'm a rule follower, So this is important to me. Thank you, Mr. Martin. Appreciate it.
Mr. Crow, then Mr. Price.
Thank you. Paul, I'd say mine's very brief. I want to follow up on Mr. Sharp's comment. I think when we spoke, when I was asking you the questions, it looked to me like this was sort of, was a bright line, not a gray area, because you consistently said to Mr. Sharp that every communication you send to us has the heading that it is confidential and privileged. So if every communication you send to us is confidential and privileged, and then the Missouri statute says that the only way for it not to be confidential and privileged is for the body to vote that it be made public, I'm totally confused on where the gray area is. Because to me, the body is the client. You issued an opinion that you yourself said was privileged and confidential, and the privilege belongs to the client. The client has to take a vote for it to go public. So where's the gray area?
Now, when I mentioned gray area, I was talking about drawing fine distinctions between different issues or different paragraphs or whatever within an opinion. And that's very difficult to say, okay, I know this isn't confidential, or I know this isn't privileged, or I know this isn't really a legal opinion, and this is just a factual discussion. I don't think it's my place to draw those lines.
Okay.
Mr. Price?
Right, and to piggyback on Mr. Sharp's question, is that, and the city attorney can stop me if I'm incorrect, he can't decide for us what's important, not important. Is that correct?
It's very correct, yes.
So we make that determination once you send it out, how much weight we will determine to put on that item. Is that correct?
Yes.
Once we convene.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay. So, I don't have no more questions for you.
Thank you.
Now, and I'll end with this statement. And when I talk about intent, if I'm going to send something out and I know it could be inflammatory. I know it could be have people say things that are not true. Then I would not do that. You have an individual who comes up here and says somebody's breaking the law based on what law school. Did they go to WashU, SLU? I don't know where they went. Maybe they got a law degree. But they make a blanket statement, then to me, as an elected official, I need to have more prudence than to blanketly release things without discussion with the attorney because it was legal and confidential. Now what you end up having is a misconstruing of what's real and not real. And I'll let the public know, anybody, anywhere, any place, I support the children of University City 1,000%. Those kids deserve to play in a gym where the roof's not leaking and the team's playing and the tile falls and hit the ground while they're running back and forth. I think the natatorium deserves to be fixed. I never went into the natatorium until my son was on the swim team. And I was shocked to see the conditions it in. So you can tell everybody that you know, Byron Price supports the kids of University City 1,000% and their parents who are the taxpayers and residents of University City. So I don't know where we go, but I know if it was me, the mayor would be going somewhere with it. In all due speed. If it was me. She would have no hesitation
to concoct some untruth, put it out in the public, and move forward. But when she's asked to explain her actions, she won't do it in public. She wants to do it in private. I find that irony, very ironic. Because some people say what comes around goes around. And I don't really know what that means. So I'm putting a disclaimer on it. I don't know what that means. But I'm asking a question to the mayor. Where do we go, mayor, with this issue if you have violated rules that you helped set up and vote on? Because when you got elected, you was adamant we had to have these rules. The rules had to be updated. We had to get them streamlined, get more rules in. That took place. Now you violate them. I'm asking you, what should we do?
I believe we're going to speak about this later this evening. Could I call Mr. Gregory Pace?
Gregory Pace, 7171 Westmoreland. Apparently tonight I brought a pea shooter to a gunfight. This discussion has gone how many minutes? And, you know, here's the agenda I picked up over there, and nowhere on this agenda does it say this topic will be discussed, yet several members of this council came loaded for bear to discuss this. Shame on you for not having the guts to put it on the agenda so I can do my research. I need the statutes in front of me. I don't know who's right and who's wrong. I would have done the research. But no, you can't even put it on the agenda, and yet it's been being discussed for how long? Shame on you all.
Thank you. Any further discussion? We now go into unfinished business. We have no new unfinished bills, no new resolutions. We do have Bill 9177. Who would like to introduce? Would anyone? Mr. Sharp, thank you. Ms. Pum, may we have the first reading?
An ordinance amending various sections of Chapter 10, Vehicles and Traffic, to revise various traffic regulations as provided herein.
Thank you very much. We have no more requests to speak. We now go to council comments. Does any member of council have any comments he or she would like to make? Mr. Glickard.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Congratulations on the Chinese New Year. I was on Olive Saturday, and it's probably one of the first times that I went 10 miles an hour from north and south to McKnight. All the parking lots were filled with people, and it was a pleasure to see commerce taking place along with the celebration. In reference to Reverend Brown's basketball situation, I'm sorry. I probably played in that yard as a kid. I can tell you that it was an item that was brought up in our city council session that we should have a park, obviously a basketball court, in the northeast quadrant of University City. I hate to say this, but we did have one that I used to play at Pershing, but they took that out. So it's something that we are working on, and I hope we can get something over there because the kids do have a right to play within their neighborhood in a park-like setting, as we have in most places in University City. This is for the city manager. It's just an idea that came up after we voted on the police cars, and that is I've noticed in other communities that they have a website posted on the police cars. So I'm not saying we should do that, but if you would, maybe you could get back to us with a conversation maybe that you could have with the police chief. Obviously, we're all looking for ways to curb whatever kind of infraction, major, minor situations that happen in our community. I don't know if the website would help on the side of the cars or not, but I do see that on quite a few of the municipalities now. Thank you.
Any other members of council? Mr. Price?
Yeah, I believe I read in the patch the other day some good things the school district is doing. I think it was at least 12 or 13 of the athletes at the high school that got scholarships to college. So somebody's doing something right to get that many kids to get scholarships to go to school, which means they were eligible academically to be accepted into the university. So I just want to congratulate them for the continued good work. And especially, I think Coach Reed had 10 or 11 boys. So I want to give a shout out to Coach Reed for an excellent job that he's been doing, and that number's been growing every year since he took over the football program.
Thank you. Any other comments? I have a number. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., I am hosting a meeting of religious leaders from throughout University City. I am bringing them together so they can get to know each other, share information about community support programs and services they provide through their institution. The meeting will be held at 10 a.m. at Heman Park Community Center. Members of council have been invited, and members of the public are invited to come and listen also. Mr. Walker, I know that tomorrow night we have a safety seminar at 6 or 6:30, and what school will that be at?
6 p.m. at Barbara Jordan.
Thank you, sir. That is a police safety seminar. On Tuesday, February 19th, the city will be sponsoring a design charrette for the city-owned property at the northeast corner of Olive and North and South. That meeting will be held at 6:30 p.m. also at the Heman Park Community Center. Those attending will have the opportunity to share their ideas on the types of development the city should try to attract to that corner. Last week, I visited Barbara Jordan Elementary School to talk to third graders about how to be safe in their homes and neighborhoods. I was accompanied by Captain Jackson. This visit came about because of a letter I received from third graders Albert Smith and Jonathan Gordon. Last weekend, I took part and spoke at the Youth Violence Prevention Community Planning Forum at St. Louis University. Mayor Slay, Mayor Parks of East St. Louis, and County Executive Dooley also spoke. Mr. Walker and I had our quarterly lunch with the president of the school board and the school superintendent. I attended the very well-attended meeting with Olive business and property owners to discuss ongoing and planned initiatives along Olive. I also attended an event in support of the Epworth Center, which will unfortunately be leaving University City in the not-too-distant future for a new location up north in a building they will own. And finally, I passed around to members of council today a note about the efforts to change the sales tax distribution system. We were told that since the redistricting in the House of Representatives in Jeff City, there has been very little discussion of efforts to change the sales tax system, and that's no bills have been filed, and that's good news for us. I do have one more request to speak. It's outside of the time of the meeting. Do members of council mind if I have this member of the public speak? Do I have consensus? Yes, okay. Mr. Rahim Adegboye. If you can give your name and address and limit your comments to 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you. I haven't been here for a very, very long time, but I'm glad I came tonight. What I observe is it demonstrates that the council is not together, and you are the elected officials of this city. We depend on you for running the city, and I believe together you've done a good job. Together you can do a better job. I'm suggesting that you have a special council meeting whereby you iron out your differences, so that next time we come here, you will be acting like brothers and sisters and friends. That's my suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I will now entertain a motion to go into closed section according to RSMO 610.021, legal actions, causes of litigation involving a public governmental body, and any confidential or privileged communications between a public governmental body or its representatives and its attorneys. Is there a motion? Mr. Glickert-Mose, is there a second? Mr. Sharp seconds. Is there any discussion? Mr. Crow?
Yes, I'm not sure whether I direct this to the city manager or to the city attorney. I guess my question, as based on the packet that I received and based on my reading of it, I guess I'm confused as to why we're going into closed session on this. It just doesn't, no, with all due respect to my colleagues, it just doesn't make sense.
I agree.
If I'm missing something, I would love to be educated.
Actually, before, I'm just going to make the same comment. I don't, maybe we could do this as a study session or a discussion session or something. We're discussing not to breach the confidentiality of the subject, but I'm not sure it raises to the level of a closed session.
Mr. Walker or Mr. Martin?
It's about, can we say what the topic is? Is that legal? Well, you can't answer because...
Can we keep in mind there was the one that was planned and then Ms. Carr has added something to the agenda, but could Mr. Walker and or Mr. Martin talk to the one that was planned if it is definitely needed to be discussed in closed session?
Well, if he feels it's confidential, then he can't answer our question. It's kind of a catch-22 here, but I don't think it is. I agree.
Paul, do you want to talk?
I don't know how to answer the question other than to say that if I didn't think there was reason to ask for the closed session, I wouldn't have done it. And if the council decides that that is not necessary, then a work session would be fine with me.
Ms. Carr?
Mr. Martin, is this, because I know what the topic is this your confidential legal advice to counsel? Is that what this is based on?
Part of it, yes.
Is there any for Mr. Crow?
I guess I'm just confused, and it looks to me like we're just updating things, and I'm just... I like it when my colleague Mr. Kraft and I agree on things. I just think that doesn't. And again, Paul, I'm happy to hear more, but I don't.
Why don't we do this? Why don't I give you a very brief written explanation of why I was asking for it, and if you feel the need to discuss it further, then fine.
Okay. Fine.
Just
can we withdraw our motion?
So I'm going to ask.
No. Why can't you?
Mr. Sharp, Ms. Carr has asked to add another item to the agenda.
Well,
Mr. Kraft.
Before we vote on her, I think we've been discussing that for the last 40 minutes. I can't imagine what we have to do. What we have to do in a closed session that we haven't already done in the public session. And you don't have an opinion on that because you don't know what she's going to talk about, but I can't imagine that it's a whole lot different than we just heard for the last, I don't know, what time is it?
Mr. Crow?
I don't presume to make any comments on my colleague's desire to have one. I'm just thinking that based on the fact that the notice was for one item and then I think at the last minute we added this one, I would tend to think that we would probably want to have the executive session at a later date, unless this is the meat of what we're talking about. But out of respect for my colleague who asked for the executive session, if it's something that she feels strongly about tonight, then I will be happy to vote for it. But I'm trying to figure out, due to the fact that, to me, anytime we go into closed session and we have notice issues, that always causes me a little bit more concern.
Ms. Carr?
First of all, The reason that I asked to add this and the other to the agenda was because it came out yesterday evening, and I think it needs to be addressed immediately. And I think that there are some issues that we have not discussed here that are more sensitive. If I'm willing to postpone the first discussion, the one on which we received the confidential packet, I'm not willing to postpone the second.
Okay. Mr. Glickert?
Just a question for Ms. Carr. I'll keep the motion here if you want me to go into executive session.
Thank you. Yes. Any further discussion? Right. Hearing none, Ms. Plum, would you please call the roll?
Wait, I just wanted to say...
Mr. Kraft?
Well, just as a matter of principle, I appreciate that Mr. Martin actually gave us information as to what the session was about, and that he's offered to give us a legal memo telling us why it needs to be confidential versus public. That's, and I think that's reasonable. I didn't get the same memo from Ms. Carr, so I don't have a clue why we're going into this session. And so just as a matter of principle, if I don't know why we're going into a closed session, I'm going to vote against it.
Is there any further discussion? Ms. Carr?
We have some things to talk about with regard to the release of confidential legal documents, and some of those things I believe are to be discussed with our attorney in a confidential manner. And I'm sorry, Mr. Kraft, that you didn't receive a notice. I got my notice of the release of these documents after 6 o'clock.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Plum, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Price? Ms. Carr?
Aye.
Mr. Kraft? Mr. Crow?
Aye.
Mr. Glickert?
Aye.
Mr. Sharp? Mayor Welsh?
Aye. Thank you all. We will adjourn this meeting at 8:06 p.m. Thank you very much for coming.